This podcast is brought to you by MITEX, the Massachusetts Innovation and Technology Exchange, the region's premier association for thought leadership, technology trends, building business relationships, and professional training and development. For more information, go to www.mitx.org.
Hey, get your fresh BizCast here. I'm DC Dennison. This week, Maura Welsh, the new business filter blogger on Boston.com, appears daily there. Also, it appears every Monday in the Boston Globe in the business and innovation section. Then, Keith Reed on Sprint's new music phone service and the emergence of entertainment on your cell phone. First up, Maura Welsh. I'm on the phone with Maura Welsh, who just launched a business filter blog on Boston.com. Hi, Maura.
Hey, DC.
So what would you say is the sort of guiding principle of business blog, which I should say can be found most of the time on the business page? Sometimes it gets pushed to the front of the site, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so what's the kind of guiding principle of it?
Well, I think what we're trying to do is sort of find those business stories or technology and innovation stories that you might otherwise miss. You know, a lot of us have piles of magazines sitting around and never have the time to really thoroughly get through them all. And so I'm going to try to get through them all for you.
Thanks.
And try to find the ones that kind of rise to the top and, you know, kind of point the way toward maybe a new trend or something that may make a difference in your business going forward.
So what kinds of publications do you find are the most valuable as you're sort of surfing around the web?
Well, Business Week is the old standard. I mean, I think that they just must have, you know, an army of people out there bringing up stories. And so they're constantly doing some good work. Forbes is another one. You know, Forbes has just got a huge amount of depth, and they approach things really from a thought angle,
mm-hmm.
Really thinking deeply about what things mean and sort of who the business leaders are behind it.
I see. Huh. And how much time are you spending on the web these days?
Oh, way too much. Yeah, to the point of carpal tunnel, no.
Oh.
It's one of those things that when you've got an interest in it, too, you kind of tend to go deeper into it than just a quick scan. But, you know, I'm learning how to manage it.
Have you found any kind of surprising caches of information, like, gee, I didn't know that these kind of resources were online or these publications?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, I didn't know that Slate was as good as it really is.
Oh, that's interesting.
Slate is a really great resource, and again, kind of coming at things from another point of view. And obviously, blogs are an amazing resource.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough though, because some of them can be, you have to pick the good ones. You have to understand what you're looking at. And, you know, like anything, most stories have their 2, 3, 4, or 5 sides to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the blog space really fills out those sides. So, you know, once you dive into the blogosphere, then it opens everything wide up.
You know, it struck me, though, that, you know, I've been looking at the blog in the at Business Filter, and you weren't linking to too many kind of personal blogs. Is that because it's kind of a buyer's market for, you know, the Forbes and the Business Week kinds of sources, and so you don't really, they have enough good stuff that you're not sort of trolling personal blogs, or is it that the personal blogs don't have the sort of rigor that you're looking for?
You know, I guess that's a good point. And, of course, all of these big publications are now coming out with blogs of their own.
Yeah.
Business Week, I think, has 8 blogs running.
That's great.
Yeah. I think what I'm leery of going too deeply into personal blogs that I don't know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to read them longer.
Yeah.
Maybe to feel like I can trust them. There are people that I know in the industry. I just did a posting on Charlene Lee's blog, which is, she's a forester analyst.
Oh, yeah.
That I've known for a long time, and I trust Charlene.
Mm-hmm.
And then people that are associated with Charlene, it's more of a personal network when you get into the blog space, I feel. You know, we quoted out of O'Reilly Radar, people that that I have been in the industry from its inception.
Yeah.
So So I think what I'm doing as I'm moving through the blog space is really making sure that I'm vetting it to, because there's a lot of stuff out there that you don't want to throw around.
Yeah, and also I think you're right about the way it kind of clusters, because, you know, there are, let's say, kind of some sort of Bay Area, California kind of blogs, and, you know, you read one and you see it references another, mm-hmm. and then the kind of level of trust builds up. But they're really just probably, you know, if I had to speculate in the kind of business tech space, there's probably just like a few dozen at the most that have any value. Does that strike you as accurate, or do you think it's more or less than that?
Well, I think a few. I think you're probably right in terms of the super high level stuff, really covering the trends of the industry and what's going on. Probably you could boil it down to that, but there's a few here and there. I mean, one of the ones in the that I quoted a couple of times in the last 2 weeks is Fred Wilson's blog, which he's a VC operating out of New York.
Oh yeah.
And you know, he's not necessarily, well, I mean, he's obviously been working in the industry for a while, but he hasn't been completely mainstream up there with the guys on the panels.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's really doing some innovative stuff. So I wouldn't say that those you know, few dozen people have a lock on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that have good stuff to say.
Oh, that's good. I think you know, when you were mentioning that, you know, Business Week or Forbes has 8 blogs, I think it's really a fantastic time for a kind of a product like yours, because, you know, when you have all these major media outlets that really have great reporters and columnists sort of fighting over each other to get online and to put their stuff out there, then, you know, it's a great time for somebody to kind of set up a filter and say, okay, here's 4 things or 5 things every day, and then at the end of the week, I guess I didn't mention this, at the end of the week we sort of pick the best of those postings and put them in the Monday tech and innovation section. So it seems like it's a good time for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a little bit like going out for you know, tapas or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have some small dishes that are, you know, you can actually, that are deep in terms of what they're about, but you know, they're gonna definitely give you a good snapshot of the stuff that you don't want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I maybe it is good timing. I mean, I feel like now that it's not just the mainstream media, but it's also the blogs, the cacophony of information out there is overwhelming sometimes. And
yeah.
So it's great to have, you know, a human editor.
Yeah, and I think you've done a great job of sort of playing between, you know, you get a Forbes posting and a Business Week posting, and then there's an O'Reilly Radar posting.
Right.
And so you probably don't feel kind of hemmed in, like you're going to the same, you're forced to go to the same sources over and over.
Right. And in fact, I kind of rediscovered Technology Review, which is the publication out of MIT, which, you know, I used to subscribe to and love it. Always has really interesting stuff. But, you know, like you said, I mean, I didn't feel limited. I just really felt like I needed to, I found another source out there, and I should say that the same is true for readers of the Business Filter. You know, new sources, new blogs that I should be paying attention to are what we're all about.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, finally, can you give us a little background on your kind of, you know, your approach and your background in terms of what kinds of things, you know, really kind of strike your interest if you know, you take the 360 degrees of technology and
right.
business out there, what kinds of things, you know, given the kind, you know, what you've done in the past, you know, kind of get your attention?
Well, I'm a total media industry junkie, so mm-hmm. I would suppose media, entertainment to a certain extent, but also really looking at the internet in general,
mm-hmm.
sort of internet-based businesses, and how that, you know, little tiny shifts in the technology on the internet and web-based, you know, new software that software we used to buy in a box that we now use on the web. Mm-hmm. Those small shifts in process or in technology, process is another big hot button of mine. I want to know how people are doing things differently. So anyway, those little shifts, they can change everything. They can change the way we do business. And so I think I'm always sort of looking at the horizon line to see where something new is dipping in, where it's changing in those industries.
So something like a Web 2.0 is the kind of change that sort of ripples across the entire business landscape.
Or the one that we wrote, I wrote about yesterday for software as a service. Just, I mean, it's been around for a long time, but just the way that that can totally transform. I mean, it can take the mighty can fall. And look at how Microsoft is now scrambling.
Oh, they are really scrambling.
Really scrambling. Which isn't to say that, I mean, there's can't count anyone out.
Yeah. Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just going to be a really fun spectator sport to see Microsoft what they do in the next few years, because they're, you know, talk about being hemmed into a corner.
Exactly.
That's going to be fun to see how they try to wiggle out of that.
I agree. I mean, I think the story that we let in yesterday's Globe was the IQ Wars, you know, just talking about where do the best and brightest want to work.
Right.
You know, they used to want to go to, you know, obviously Microsoft was the king of the heap there. And now Google is really out there changing the world. So the brain drain is heading in the other way. And, it doesn't take much for the tipping point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, Maura. We'll be following this and other stories in Business Filter.
Great. Thanks, DC.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Keith Reed, you just wrote an interesting story about Sprint getting into the music business. And, of course, there was the iTunes phone that came out a few weeks ago. What's new about this?
Well, what's really new about this is that this is the first time that you can actually use a phone to download a full song.
I see.
Which is completely different from what the iTunes phone, the Motorola Rocker, does on Singular's network.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is this. If you own the iTunes phone or the Rocker, you can connect it to your computer and you can download songs into the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That is completely different from having the ability to be on the subway,
right,
or to be at the airport or to be wherever you happen to be at that particular point in time and hear a song on the radio or just have a song pop into your head and say, I want to own that song right now and to be able to go in through your phone and download it. And that's what this new service allows you to do.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be, do you think this will be popular, or do you think this is more like Sprint is kind of just putting their toe in the water and sort of saying, well, we just want to get into this and see where it goes?
Well, it's definitely Sprint putting its toe in the water. Whether or not it's popular is going to depend on any number of things. The cost is going to be a big question. I mean, right now, it costs 99 cents. 99 cents per song is a going rate for music downloads across the industry, whether you go to Napster or whether you go to Rhapsody or whether you go to iTunes or any one of those online music stores.
Yeah.
Generally, the going rate is 99 cents per song, give or take. $2.50 per song is what Sprint plans on charging.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 2.5 times the amount per song.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's going to catch on is going to be a question. So there are some other questions. How well does it work? Sprint is deploying this over a new high-speed network.
Right.
However, that network isn't completely built out yet. It's only turned on in certain places, and even depending on where you are in a city, you might be in the Back Bay, for example, and it'll work, and in some other areas of Boston, it may or may not be spotty. So, so that could affect how long it takes for a song to download, and that could be an issue. I mean, people are pretty used to having robust, people who are song downloaders are all generally going to be broadband customers in their homes, and so they're going to be used to getting songs within seconds, if not minutes. So if a song takes too long, then people may not want it. So there are certain technical issues about how well this works, who it appeals to, mm-hmm. you know, those sorts of things. And then you get to price. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you see? Do you see the phone rapidly merge, you know, kind of morphing into an entertainment device, or do you think it's going to be a lot slower than people think?
No, I think the phone is already an entertainment device. Oh. I mean, even before this came out, most phones on the market today, unless you just have a very, very low-end basic phone or the blocky thing that I carry around, which is 2 years old, you know, just about it, you can't buy a cell phone these days without it, without that phone being able to play some video or storing some music in some way, shape, or form, or playing a ringtone, or you know, almost anything. So I think almost every phone, unless you're using one of the blockier sort of PDA phone hybrids that are more geared towards business and less towards towards entertainment, but most consumer phones going forward are all going to be entertainment devices.
What do you think will be the first real entertainment success on phones? You know, in the way that iPod, all of a sudden everyone's like, oh man, this really, you know, what kind of thing?
I think it's going to be music. Video is possible. Sprint yesterday, for example, in announcing this network, I mean, the big thing that people will pay attention to is them getting into the music business. But their high speed network will also let you do video to your phone. You can download clips. You can actually watch live television on it, depending on which service package you purchase. It will determine there's one for $5, one for $15, one for I think $20 or $25, and that's in addition to the cost of your regular voice package per month. And whichever one of those packages will get you access to a greater number of TV stations or cable networks or whatever it is that you can actually watch live on that phone. The issue with video is that even on a very high-speed network, video takes up a lot of bandwidth. So, you know, we're still not at a point yet where we're watching TV and video is the sort of robust experience on phones that it is on in the home. But music is perfectly suited for it. There's just enough bandwidth out there over a wireless or cellular network that you can download songs, that you can stream songs, and you can and the phones, you know, have enough storage capacity, or some of them have enough storage capacity that you can get a decent number of songs and take that with you. And so I think music is really where this is all going.
I think it will be interesting to see how the video kind of develops, because you've got the new iPod, you know, with video. And that's the same size screen as kind of a phone screen.
Right.
And it's also that same sort of, you know, you carry it around with you. So I imagine, you know, and now you're seeing stuff like, you know, you can watch Desperate Housewives. That doesn't seem to me to be something you're going to watch on your phone. But somebody's going to come up with some kind of types of media that work on these devices.
Well, there are differences. I mean, if you think about how you consume media. Go back 20, 25 years, okay, and think about, you know, there have been portable televisions for a long time.
Right.
You know, this is not...
There was a watchman.
Yeah. All those things. How many people did you see on the bus or on the subway every day with a portable television?
Right.
But everybody's got on headphones.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, they're just some things that, you know, smaller screen, the picture quality's not great. And I've seen some phones these days that have great picture quality, but the screen's real small and you don't want to. The other thing is people tend to use these things when they're commuting.
Yeah.
And when they can afford to sort of sit down and have a chance to listen to something, but maybe not afford to be so consumed by watching, because you want to be a little bit more alert when you're on the train or when you're walking down the streets. You can't necessarily be staring at a screen, but you can have earbuds in and be listening. The other thing is that songs are shorter. I mean, you've got, you know, the average song's 3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're listening to Clapton or something, you know, then it's going to be a little bit, then it's going to be a little bit longer. But, you know, TV shows are a half an hour.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, you can take a quick trip on, you know, on the subway or walk to the store or run and be listening to music, whereas, you know, that run is going to have to be longer if you're trying to watch a TV show. And who can you know, go jogging and watch Desperate Housewives at the same time?
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. How about something like sports highlights? Would that work?
Yeah, well, I mean, those things are already available. I mean,
but that's incremental.
To be sure.
Yeah.
There is video that's available. There have been for a while some on-demand sorts of offerings.
Yeah.
How popular those are, I really don't know. But I think sort of the threshold or the thing that makes those appealing are when they're crafted in such a way that they look, I guess, sort of more like the music offerings. And what I mean by that is they have to be shorter.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to. Can you provide me with video that gets you when you listen to music? You're sort of listening, and it's a very quick message. You can take it in, and you know, you hear it, and then you get your adrenaline, and you bob, you nod your head, and then you're done listening to it. With video, what I'm watching television for is to get into a story.
Yeah.
Okay. To hear about what to see, to
yourself.
Visualize,
yeah.
to
right.
lose myself in what's going on. Can you do that in 35, 45 seconds? Can you tell me a complete story in pictures and words in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, the same way you do with a song?
Yeah.
I think across the board, not just for portable media, but you're going to see a lot more of those shorter sort of snippets of video, those types of very short form movies, and that sort of thing is starting to proliferate all over the place because of all of the different choices that people have for consuming media.
Yeah,
I'm testing out at home, for example, Comcast's on demand service, and if you go into on demand, you can watch all sorts of movies and all these other things. But the other thing that I notice is that you're, especially in some very niche categories where there aren't long form, you know, a whole lot of, you know, there's no such thing as a quote unquote hip hop sitcom or something like that, right?
Yeah,
but for that audience, there are people who are out there who are independent filmmakers and producers of video who are doing the 6 and 7 minute clip.
Is that right?
That appeals to that audience that can't get anything else that it wants to watch. But you can go on, you know, you can go on demand and hit a button and say, okay, let me watch this, and it's 10 minutes long or it's 7 minutes long.
Oh, that's
interesting. It's not a half an hour. You'll start to see more of that stuff for cable, for satellite, and you'll also start to see it more for video, and that's where that stuff will start coming in, but it's just not quite there yet.
Yeah, great. Hey, Keith Reed, thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And check in next Wednesday for a brand new BizCast. Or better yet, subscribe and have BizCast automatically delivered to your computer and MP3 player.